The title of this morning's lesson is Choose for Yourselves. It's taken from Joshua chapter 24 in verses 14 through 15. Near the end of Joshua's life, he sought to restore the covenant of God with Israel, to remind them of their commitment to God and to encourage them to choose God and to serve Him. He said in verse 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This ability to choose is seen there in verse 15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Joshua makes it very clear that it's their choice. He encourages them to fear the Lord. He says he and his family, "We will serve the Lord, but you choose." That's the power of the human will. We can overcome almost any condition of life if we have the will and the want to do it. There's almost no end to the growth we can achieve. We can overcome almost any condition of upbringing as well if we have the will to do it. We even have little sayings in our history or culture that point to this very thing. Sayings, pardon me, sayings like "can't, never, could do anything." Can't, never, could, won't, never, would. Nothing comes to a sleeper but dreams. If everyone agrees with you, you ain't saying nothing. All of these little sayings are meant to cause us to have a mind to keep trying, to keep working, to stand for what we believe in. The proof that we can choose is also in Scripture. King Josiah, for example, was one of the best kings in the history of Israel. 2 Kings 22, verse 2 says of him, "And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." He brought about many reforms in Israel. He restored worship as it should be. And yet, he was born of two dreadfully evil men. Amon was his father, and Manasseh was his grandfather. And 2 Kings chapter 21, beginning in verse 20, says this about his father and grandfather. "And he, Amon, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord." Amon, his father, Manasseh, his grandfather, wicked. Born of wicked men, Josiah chose righteousness. And what that means as we contemplate it is that everyone has a choice. Some are born of righteous fathers, yet they choose evil ways. We could say that of Manasseh. Others are born of evil fathers, yet they choose to walk with God. I mentioned Manasseh was born of a righteous father. Manasseh's father was Hezekiah, a very righteous man. The Bible says of Hezekiah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Why is that true? Why would someone like Hezekiah and Josiah choose to walk with God? What led them to walk with God? While Manasseh and Ammon walked with the devil. When you stop and think about that, I would ask you, would you not agree that it almost certainly began with influences in their lives and ended with the choices they made? How could we disagree with that simple observation? It began with influences, and then it ended with choices. Good influences. Maybe it was their mothers. Maybe it was their teachers or the prophets or all three. The point is their lot in life was not cast at their birth. To suggest that is like saying that we would just live with the mess if we came home and found that vandals had trashed our yard or our home, or if we owned a small business and went and found vandals had trashed our business, that we just live with that mess. We would not. And to suggest that someone is born into a difficult situation and they just don't have a chance, that's not true. And yet, we make excuses, don't we? You've heard the excuses, some variation of this. You don't know the mess my life is in. You just don't know. You didn't grow up in an ungodly home like me. I didn't have good examples to show me the way. Or maybe kind of the reverse. I could never live up to what my parents or my grandparents were. We do that. We make excuses as if we just don't have a choice. As if my life is a mess and I can't clean it up. And I was born into an ungodly home and therefore I'm just going to be an ungodly person. Or that defeatist attitude, you know, that you think, wow, I had such wonderful parents and grandparents. I could never live up to that. But remember what Joshua said to Israel, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. We have a choice. Proverbs 4:23-27. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Who's responsible for that? You are. I am. Keep your heart. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. That's the admonition of the Lord in the Proverbs. But there in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. There is an effort that has to be made. We have to make that choice. Hearts require diligence. If there are good things in your heart or mine, it did not just happen. The things that just happen in life are almost always bad. We have to choose. We must each choose to put good things in our heart. The truth is, I make my choices and you make your choices. Maybe parents made them for us early in life, but as we become accountable to God, He looks at our heart. He looks at our choices. He looks to us to be responsible for ourselves. We mature. We understand right and wrong, and then we choose. And we either choose right or we choose wrong. We choose good or we choose bad. But it's a choice. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, very familiar to us in verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, he says to the saints in Corinth. What does Paul mean, awake to righteousness? Well, it's almost self-explanatory there. He means they need to wake up from what amounts to a drunken spiritual sleep where they are deceived and foolish. He means they need to understand that if we or they associate with evil people who influence us with evil doctrine, we will fail. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness, he says. This is true regarding doctrine, which is really the context, I think, of 1 Corinthians 15 there. False teachers and false doctrine and the influences of those people. It's true regarding doctrine. It's true of life also. Associating with deceivers who are full of skeptical ideas and sinful deeds, sinful behavior, it will infect our heart. It will alter our understanding of what is right and what is wrong. It will lead us to choose the wrong things instead of letting divine truth mold our manner of life. We will rather let the false and deceptive ideas of ungodly company mislead us. Consider what Paul means by evil company. That very phrase, evil company, because a lot of times when you study this with someone, their idea is skewed a little bit. And they think of maybe the very worst possible situations, but what does it mean, evil company? Well, pretty simple, I think. He's talking about the friends we choose. He's talking about the spouse we choose. He's talking about people who are not friends with God. He's talking about those who do not walk with God and saying that they will lead us down the wrong road in life. They will corrupt our morals. Evil company. He's talking about the books we read, the television we see, the movies we watch. He's talking about the websites we browse. Every association must be guarded if we are serious about seeking eternal life. Remember how Paul prayed for the Ephesians? He prayed in Ephesians 1 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The American Standard Version reads, the eyes of your heart. How would that prayer be answered? How does God enlighten our understanding? How does He open our eyes so that we see? Well, He ordained that it happens by choice. Matthew 7:7-8, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Choose. Choose for yourselves. We must choose to seek truth and light, choose to avoid lies and darkness. Is that not what the psalmist teaches us in Psalms like Psalm 119? Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a choice. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. That's a choice. Why would you do that? That I may keep your word. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Lord tells us in His word what we should think about. In Philippians 4, verse 8, very familiar to us. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Now look at that list. True, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God enlightens the eyes of our understanding through His Word. He teaches us how we ought to live. He tells us how to overcome the world. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What part of how we live on earth does that verse not touch on? I've thought about it. I think that verse touches on everything. That I take this body that God's given me to live in, and that everything I do and say, every place I go, every influence of my life, be sacrificial for God, holy in His sight, acceptable to Him, which the New King James says is your reasonable service. Some say it's your spiritual service. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. How do you test that? Well, you test it against God's Word. That's how we test it. And then when we see what's evil, we abstain from it. That's what God is trying to help us understand. This is how you overcome the world. Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. This is meant to be a very simple lesson, very straightforward. Something to just remind us that God gives us a choice of how we live our lives. We look around us, and so many times it seems that people think that into whatever lot I was born, there I stay. As if there's no rising above my raising. There's no getting out of a difficult situation. That's not true. God teaches us. Let us remember Joshua's words. He said that he wanted to renew Israel's commitment to God. He was seeking to renew their covenant with God. Very similar to what Moses had done. He did this as he neared the end of his life, last chapter of the book of Joshua. He says in verse 14 at the very beginning, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. That's his appeal. Fear Jehovah. Serve Him sincerely. Serve Him truthfully. But then he says in the next verse, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. I can't help but think of what Peter said when Jesus turned and asked those closest disciples to him. So many had been departing from him, and he said, well, you know, will you also leave? Will you also depart? And Peter said, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. But even so, if it seems evil to serve the Lord, then choose. Choose who you will serve. But Joshua made it very clear in verse 15, at the end of that verse, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice that I've made and will make every day of my life from here on out. It's a choice of each one of the adults here. It's a choice of each one of the young people here. As you grow up, as you become mature, you become a Christian, God begins to look at you and how you're living your life and what choices you're making. So let us hear the exhortation of Joshua. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity. Serve Him in truth. And let us make the same commitment Joshua made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us be an influence on each other and on our children and on our neighbors and on anyone we come into contact with in the world. Let us be an influence for good. We never know when something we do or say can make all the difference in the world to someone else. And we'll never do the right thing unless we make the choice that this is what we're going to do. Serve the Lord. God bless and keep you. Lord willing, we will continue your studies next Sunday.